Hello and welcome to Employment Talk. We're here to discuss the HR issues affecting you and keep you up to date with the latest employment law news. I'm Glenn Hayes, Head of Employment Law at Irwin Mitchell.
Hi, and I'm Jo Mosley. I'm a support lawyer in the employment team and I write our blogs and newsletters and keep our team and our clients up to date. How are you doing, Glenn? How was your holiday?
Good, thank you. Nice and refreshed.
Yeah.
I did actually log into your podcast whilst I was away to listen to how my standing was doing. I was a bit alarmed after a few minutes when you were talking about whether I was going to be in a mankini or something. So I thought, wow, what has it degenerated to in my absence?
Do you have anything you want to share on that front?
Well, I can share that. I definitely wasn't wearing a mankini.
Was that because it was too cold?
Oh, I think it might have been frowned upon in a... I was in Jordan, so I think it might have been frowned upon there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it as a destination?
Really good. Really good, yeah. I mean, a bit of a mix of adventuring and history and relaxation. So there's ruins of thousands and thousands of years old that even my kids can't destroy. So it's it was good. Yeah. Enjoyed it.
Good. Good. So you're fully refreshed.
Yeah. Refreshed and ready to go.
Okay, brilliant.
What are we talking about today, Jo?
I thought we would discuss resignations today. I don't know whether you saw.
Not
but
yours,
I
hope.
Well, not mine. That's I'm right. Quite happy. Good. But I wrote about a recent case where the employee had said, "I'm done," and had physically handed in her keys, and her employer had treated it as a valid resignation. And that seemed to get quite a lot of traction on social media when I posted that. Yeah. The tribunal said that she hadn't resigned, and I thought it would be good to explain the legal principles around resigning and to highlight some of the mistakes employers make.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. It's not always easy to work out what an employee's actually thinking when they say some words. So let's have a chat about it, yeah?
Brilliant. Well, you've sort of started on that, on what I was going to ask you. I mean, I guess that listeners might think, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, if someone's resigned? You know, they'll hand in a letter, they'll tell their employer that they're going, and that'll be the end of it. And I suppose in many cases that's true, but it's not always that straightforward, is it?
No, well, I mean, sometimes it is. But I think, you know, sometimes obviously there's things that employers need to be aware of. So, you know, if the employee uses clear and unambiguous words to resign, then an employer is entitled to take that at face value. But if the words aren't clear or there are special circumstances surrounding those words, then the employer might have to check before treating their employment as coming to an end that the employee is actually resigning. So, for example, somebody who resigns in anger, or when they're particularly emotional, you might have to give them a short cooling off period, you know, or if an employer obviously uses a way of getting rid of, you know, a problem employee, a pain in the backside or whatever, then again, the tribunal might treat that as a dismissal. So, and they might be on the receiving end of an unfair dismissal case. So employers do need to be careful. And I think it, you know, quite often it pays to go back to an employee and just to double check they are actually, you know, physically resigning from their employment.
Yeah. Yeah, and the case I mentioned at the beginning is a really good example of that. Yeah. That involved a lady who worked on the factory floor of a very small business, and there was a conflict between her and her co-worker who accused her of bullying him. And she denied those allegations, and she asked for a meeting with the owners to discuss it because she was upset and really stressed. And the owners weren't available. She got frustrated. She walked back to the counter and handed in her factory keys to the receptionist. She said, "I'm done," and then walked out of the building. And in that case, what the employers did, they relied on what the receptionist said. And the receptionist's view was that this lady had actually resigned. Mm. Despite that, she handed in a sick note the following day. And when she, I think it was a couple of weeks, the sick note, but when she tried to organised returning to work, at that point her employers had said to her, "Well, actually, you've resigned, you can't come back now." And she complained to tribunal, or brought an unfair dismissal claim. And what the tribunal said was that they needed to interpret what she said by those words. They weren't clear and unambiguous. And certainly the fact that she subsequently sent in a sick note was inconsistent with someone who had resigned, and that ultimately the owners had used it as an opportunity to get rid of what was a difficult problem for them.
It's also a bit odd that the resignation, if you want to call it that, in this circumstance is handed into the receptionist rather than to the owners themselves, is it not?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, would you normally hand in your resignation to the receptionist? I'm not being disrespectful to receptionists, but it's just, you know, you'd normally hand it into your boss, wouldn't you? So
I suppose you might hand a letter over to a receptionist, mightn't you? If you'd sort of thought it through, you'd written
but
something
down.
But
who would that be addressed to, though?
Yeah.
You know, you'd normally be handed to the receptionist to give it to the boss. You know,
yes, absolutely.
I've seen those types of things, but yeah, I mean, look, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because you see situations where somebody slams the door, don't you, and says, that's it, I've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, does that count as a resignation? Well, I think you've got to go a bit further than that, really. So.
Okay. So let me ask your view then on a hypothetical situation. So let's say we've got someone who's had a really demanding and stressful day. They've just about managed to get through the day, but they've really had enough. And just as they're about to walk out of the door, their line manager calls them back and picks them up on some minor thing that they haven't done. And they just completely blow their top at that stage, tell their manager to stick the job where the sun don't shine, or words to that effect. Mm. What advice would you give to the employer in those circumstances?
Well, I think we'd have to work out whether the words used are evidence of the intention to resign. And, you know, I think to me, I'm not sure saying you can stick your job is quite enough in those circumstances. I think, you know, obviously if they use specific language like I resign, but even in those situations, in my view, I think you've got to look at it and say, has that been done in what I would describe as the heat of the moment? Mm-hmm. You know, you normally you'd have to give the employee a bit of time to cool down, see whether they want to retract that resignation, especially if they turn up for work the next day. You know, you'd want to find out what they meant. Now, I don't think that means that you've got to completely ignore everything that's just happened the previous day. You know, you've got to ask them about what their intention was or is. You've got to give them a limited time to respond. So if they don't come in the next day, for example, you might write to them and say, look, yesterday you stormed out and used these words. We want to be absolutely clear. Have you resigned from your employment? And if so, are you resigning with or without notice? You know, and if they say, well, actually, it wasn't my intention to resign, or then you might look at it and say, well, actually, we might need to do something about that behaviour as a disciplinary issue, because, you know, in the you can stick your job up your backside type thing might be a disciplinary offence, depending on, you know, what was said in, you know, whether it was directed at the manager and whether it's, you know, conduct that requires some form of disciplinary sanction or action, I suppose.
Yeah. So you mentioned a cooling down period, Glenn. Is there a fixed time that you would recommend employers give employees in these circumstances?
No, I think sadly falls, but it'd be easier if it was, I get that, but I think it falls back on reasonableness in my view. So most cases you're talking about a day or so, and that's probably enough. But it, you know, it could even be shorter. You know, if somebody does it at 10 o'clock in the morning and you chase them by, you know, a text message or whatever, and, you know, you get no response or whatever, then I suppose it depends on the circumstances in which they've used the words. But I think a relatively short period of time is generally enough. I think the exception to that is where somebody goes off on sick. So in your example, somebody submitted a sick note. Well, you know, again, that would be inconsistent with somebody who's resigned with immediate effect, but it might not be inconsistent with somebody that's resigned on notice, for example.
Yeah.
So you might want to check, you know, as an employee, you need to check those things.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And are there any things that employers need to be aware of if an employee is, for example, being investigated for misconduct and resigns before that process has been concluded? Because we do sometimes see situations like that, don't we?
Yeah. Well, sometimes the employer decides to continue with the process if somebody's serving notice.
Yeah.
So in particular sectors, for example, that can be quite important, because the knock-on effect of that resignation and that disciplinary process could be quite catastrophic. So take, for example, a teacher who's been accused of gross misconduct. They might go onto a list 99 and be effectively barred from teaching. You know, for example, if you were in trouble as a lawyer, Joe, then they might, we might have to refer you to the Solicitors Regulation Authority. So we might want to continue and do that investigation process and finalise it effectively before we pass on that information to the SRA. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's loads of other examples like that, the Financial Conduct Authority and all those types of bodies. So, you know, there might be not only a point in continuing it, but there might also be a need to do it. Okay, right, but yeah. what you can't do though is if you've left, okay, so let's say you resign with immediate effect, okay, and I say, well, I'm going to continue with that process. That's up to me to do that, and I can't require you to participate in it. But equally, I can't impose a sanction on you physically. I can't say, well, you're fired for gross misconduct, okay. And yep. Save for if you are serving your notice. Okay, so let's say you're on 3 months' notice, Joe. Thing. Let's say you were serving your notice. I might want to continue with that process, okay, and say, right, okay, whatever it is that you've done, okay, I haven't investigated, I've reached a conclusion. And in actual fact, the notices then could show up because I've dismissed yeah. you for gross misconduct.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, there are various situations where you might want to or might need to continue that process. And for example, there are other things that might be triggered in that situation. So for example, if I was going to dismiss you and you had shares, then it might impact the value of what those shares equate to. So you might be classified as a bad leaver, for example.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, there are things, circumstances where employers would need to think very carefully about that. Quite often most employers take the view, well, it's just not worth doing, which is fine, but you do need to be wary of some of these things. So
I'm not sure I like the direction of this conversation. there's lots of hints of
I've just come back from my holidays. I've asked you whether you've resigned, and then I'm now firing you for gross misconduct. You're all right, Joe, don't worry. It's because you were talking about me being in the Mankini while I was away.
That was Elaine, to be fair. Okay, I didn't even bring up Mankinis.
I'll switch the attention to her then, don't worry.
Thank you. Well, can I ask you your views then about another case we covered a few years ago? You yep. may recall it involved a hospital employee who'd worked there for many years, and she was unhappy in her current job, and she applied for another position in the hospital and was told that she would get it, but it was subject to their usual pre-engagement checks, so things like sickness record, all the rest of it. She jumped the gun in the sense that she wrote to her current line manager and said, and I'm quoting here, please accept 1 month's notice from the above date. OK. Mm-hmm. And the line manager, who I think reading between the lines was pretty keen to get rid of her anyway, accepted it and wrote back to her and gave her details of her last working day.
Yeah.
So what's your view on that so far? I haven't given you all of the information.
No, that's
yet,
all right.
So...
Well, look, I mean, that's fairly normal, isn't it? So if we get a resignation in, then, you know, generally speaking, it says, you know, here's a month's notice. Then you write back to the employee and say, thanks very much. Sorry to hear you resign, and your employment will therefore terminate on whatever the date is a month on. So I think that sounds fair enough to me at the minute.
OK, let me continue with the story then and see if you change your mind at all. Unfortunately for this lady, her new job offer was withdrawn because of her poor sickness record. Okay. And at that point, she telephoned HR and asked to withdraw her notice. HR referred it to her previous manager and he refused. He said, I think, something like, if he was to interview her in a competitive environment, she wouldn't get the job. So he refused to have her back. And she then said, well, I never intended to resign. And she claimed unfair dismissal. Do you think she won?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because I think an employment tribunal would look at the length of time that between the resignation being given and its acceptance and what then happens to see what proactive steps the employer had done. And if the tribunal look at it and say, well, actually, this woman didn't really intend to resign, and or the employer's under no disadvantage because they haven't effectively recruited anybody else for the role and been put to cost in doing so, then they should have just taken her back. I'm not necessarily agreeing with the decision, but I suspect that's what it was.
You're right about the decision. So they're saying that she hadn't resigned, but the reasons they give are slightly different to those that you've suggested. So this was a case that actually went to the EAT, so it's an authoritative decision. And they said that even though she'd used the words, "I'm resigning," that her notice was ambiguous. Okay. They said it wasn't clear if she was resigning from her current role or from her relationship with the hospital. Okay. And they focused on the language and said that in the context of someone who was expecting to leave one job and take up a new position with the same employer.
I don't think I appreciate it was the same employer.
Sorry. Yeah. Her language was sufficiently vague to make her intention unclear. Right. And they also examined what a reasonable employer, how they would have reacted to those words. And they said that a reasonable employer would have taken the view that when she informed her manager that she was going to accept a conditional offer of a new job in a different department, that was as much as it was. So I thought it was quite interesting because, you know, on the face of it, her words were pretty clear. Okay, what about a situation then where someone says they intend to resign in the near future? Does that count as a resignation?
No, I don't think it does, because the intention to resign isn't a valid resignation. So, I think this happens quite a lot. Somebody says, for example, "I'm looking around for a new job." Okay, so that's an even, and therefore I intend to resign at some point when I find a new job.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that happens quite a lot, and it happens for a variety of different reasons sometimes. Sometimes it's designed, for example, to get your current employer to push your wages up or whatever and make sure that they, give you a little tickle. So, I think there is quite a lot of that goes on, but I think it leaves employers in a really difficult situation, because you've got an employee that's looking around, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I'm sure it happens all the time. But ultimately, if somebody's on a relatively short notice period, that does cause the employer a problem. So, for example, if you're on a month's notice, okay, but we know it's going to take 6 months to replace somebody, then the employer might say, "Well, actually, should we start looking now for somebody to replace you?" But if you don't then resign, what then happens? You're stuck, really, because unless you're an employer that wants to take on an additional employee for that period of time, then what do you do? So there is a case as well, isn't there, that involved a couple who've been accepted as prospective adopters of children, and the woman wrote to her employer to say that she would be leaving and it could be at short notice once a child came to live with them. And that caused a real issue for the employer, because obviously they need to replace that woman, and that she's made it clear that it could be at short notice. And I suppose in theory, in breach of contract, because if she's got, let's say she was on a month's notice or 3 months notice, then she might be saying to them, "Look, I intend to breach my contract."
Yeah.
But in that case, the ET said it wasn't a resignation, and it was focused on the fact that she hadn't given a specific date. And I think that lack of clarity about the date that somebody is going and is actually going rather than intends to go at some point in the future is pretty important, to be fair.
Yeah, that all makes sense. So let's take someone then who has clearly resigned. Can they withdraw their resignation if they change their minds?
Well, no is the straightforward answer, save for unless both parties agree to it.
Yeah. And another thing that comes up from time to time is whether an employer actually has to accept the resignation of an employee in order for it to be valid.
Well, no, I think this is a bit of a myth, really. So sometimes you see employers who say they won't accept somebody's resignation because they want them to stay. So you hand in your resignation, I say, "Well, sorry, Joe, I'm not accepting you." Well, what does that actually mean? Well, if you've handed in your resignation, you've complied with your part of the contract, effectively. And it's the same principles that apply if the employer gives notice of dismissal. It doesn't mean the employee wants to accept it. So it's effective even if the employee disputes it, basically. So
Okay. And what about a situation where resignation is given verbally? Is it still effective?
Well, generally, yes, albeit the issue of ambiguity comes into play a lot more often. But there are times when it might not be effective. So, for example, take a contract that says in order for you to resign from your employment, we require 3 months written notice. Mm-hmm. So to give your resignation verbally in those situations wouldn't trigger that clause and therefore provide effective termination under that contract. So the employee should comply with the terms in that circumstances. And the employer, if they do have that type of clause or if it's ambiguous, should always ask the employee to confirm the intention in writing. So the notice would only start to run from the date of the written notice in that situation, i.e. when it's triggered that contractual entitlement.
Yeah.
And even if you're not required to give written notice, it's obviously, you know, it's quite good practice for an employer to ask the employee to stick it in writing, particularly if they're unsure whether the employee actually intends to resign. So, you know, you might have a conversation about the mechanics of it and say, right, okay, we'll confirm it in writing and make sure that they either you send out the notice of the conversation and say, just to confirm what we discussed, this is what you said, can you sign the bottom of this letter to confirm that's what you want, or more likely just say to the employee, can you just put it in writing that you're giving us the notice under your contract. So
so how much notice does an employee have to give their employer, and what can an employer do if they don't give that notice and just walk out, for example?
Yeah, so the contract sets out the basic notice period subject to minimum notice periods under law. So there are minimum periods that apply, so, you know, a week after a month's employment and all that stuff. But the employee can only walk out without notice if there's been a fundamental breach of contract, i.e. we're in constructive dismissal type territory. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or if there's been a fundamental breach, you don't have to be constructively dismissed because obviously you need 2 years service for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you would see an employee say, right, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm leaving. I know my contract requires me to give 3 months, but, you know, and there might be no grounds for termination of a fundamental breach, but they just say, right, okay, I've got a better job and I need to start a week on Monday. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it leaves the employer in no man's land, really. And the employer might say, well, okay, I'm sorry, but we're required to work that notice. And they says, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. So there's two options really for the employer. There's a nuclear one that involves effectively getting an injunction to require specific performance, i.e. to stop that employee working at the new job, complying with their obligations at the old one, or the current one, I suppose. And that, you know, that's expensive, and, you know, and most employers wouldn't adopt that approach unless there's something time critical that the individual is really working on that he can't afford them not to be involved in the business for. Yeah. The other one that, again, is mainly theoretical because most employers don't want to do it, okay, but it is an avenue available to them, is that the employer can sue the employee for breaching the contract. Mm-hmm. Okay, and effectively sue them for any damages they've suffered as a result. Now, that is not an open checkbook for an employer, okay, but for example, if there's something that they're involved in that and the absence of that individual causes them loss, okay, tangible loss, okay, then it may be that there's some damage there for the employer to sue the employee for. But it's not a great position to be in, is it, for either party? Because, well, A, you've got to shell out on legal fees, which I'm not trying to, you know, deprive us of any work, but, you know, it's not generally a great use of funds in that situation. But more importantly, it's just you've got an employee that doesn't want to be there. Mm. Okay. They probably haven't caused you that much damage when you take a bit of a step back from it. You were going to shell out, you'd have to shell out the recruitment fee anyway at some point, albeit at the end of the notice. And so I always encourage employers to have a look at what the real loss is and, you know, whether or not to sort of move on. But again, it might trigger things like, you know, the non-payment of bonuses or commissions or whatever. So it's, you know, it is worth having a look at really quite carefully.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, you ready for a quiz?
I think so, yeah. As ready as I'll ever be, yeah. I have, yeah.
Okay,
first 4 one. Hours of Uno first thing in the morning on my elders, I tell you. What a 6-year-old.
You should be good at this then. Right, so Mrs. O was employed for 23 years for the same employer. She was dismissed for misconduct, but on appeal, that was converted to a written notice, a final written warning, actually, I think. The company made arrangements for her to return to work, but she didn't accept those and wrote to them setting out matters which she was concerned about. Her employer wrote back to her and said, that's fine, but we'll deal with those issues when you return to work. But she didn't ever return. Do you think she resigned?
Yes.
Yep. You sound very tentative there, but yes, you're right. She did resign. And that's an example of someone who is resigning by their conduct. We didn't actually talk about that. We talked about verbal resignations and we talked about written resignations. But there are some circumstances, albeit a very sort of small number, where people can demonstrate that they are actually resigning by how they behave rather than what they say. What the tribunal said in that case was that the employer hadn't imposed any conditions about her return to work. She just simply refused to go back. And in those circumstances, she very much was taken to have resigned.
Yeah, my tentativeness around my answer really was about some of these things are so close to the line, aren't they? If you flip it around another way, take an example of an employer that switches off somebody's access to the systems, who is... And there's an argument about dismissal. So, you know, you can see how it can get quite tight, can't you? An employer would say in that example, well, all we're doing, for example, is we might be suspending somebody, or we might be, you know, we've stopped their access whilst they're off sick type thing. We haven't actually dismissed them. You know, it's the same argument the other way around.
Yes, it is. And a lot of the case law talks about the opposite situation as well, about, you know, how would a dismissal by an employer be interpreted when they've not made, they've not sort of said, right, you're going, we're sacking you. Mm. They've done certain things by their conduct, as you say. Okay, question two then. This involved a guy called Mr. Ely, and he told his employers that he'd accepted a job in Australia and would be resigning in due course. Okay. Mm-hmm. The employer asked him for a leaving date so that it could recruit someone to replace him. So it's the scenario, actually, you were talking about a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. He said he couldn't give them a date because he didn't know how long it would take to sort out his immigration status. So the company got a bit impatient and told Mr. Ely that his employment would end on a specific date. And when that date arrived, Mr. Ely said he'd changed his mind and had decided not to go to Australia after all. The company, however, said that he had resigned and insisted that he left on that date. Do you think that was a valid resignation?
Well, I think it sounds to me like a dismissal rather than a resignation, if I'm being honest.
Yep, absolutely right. The tribunal said that he hadn't given a date of termination and therefore he hadn't resigned. But it did have some sympathy with the employer for very much the reasons that you outlined before. They said that they genuinely expected him to resign and they needed to put in place someone that could pick up his work after he left. So although it was a dismissal, it came under some of the substantial reason dismissal, but they found in those circumstances that it was fair because of those particular circumstances. And that decision actually was upheld by the Court of Appeal. So it's an authoritative one.
I do think, Joe, sometimes that because of the situation it leaves an employer in, if there is that uncertainty and providing they can demonstrate the actual damage it's going to cause by having the uncertainty, okay, then employers might have a valid ground to terminate. Mm. So take for example an individual that's involved in a big tender process, for argument's sake, and there's some uncertainty as to whether or not they've announced their intention to go at some point in the future, but they haven't said when. There's some uncertainty as to whether or not that person should be presenting at the tender exercise and or be in the employment at the time, because if they're critical to that project or you need a replacement in for that project, you're not going to win the tender unless you've got them. So, you know, there are circumstances where there might be a potentially fair reason to do that. But again, it's sort of almost weighing up whether or not, you know, the only step that's available to the employer in those circumstances to get that certainty is to terminate. Mm. If the only certainty you're going to get, or the only way you're going to achieve that aim is to terminate, then you might be okay. You might fall into that reasonableness category of being able to dismiss for SOSR, like you suggest.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference, isn't there, between the first scenario that you talked about earlier, you know, somebody that is constantly telling their employer, oh, I'm looking elsewhere, I'm going to be resigning by the end of the year, I think I can get more money elsewhere, to somebody that is saying, actually, I'm emigrating, or I'm going to adopt a child, I'm going to be leaving soon. You know, in the first situation, they're trying it on. And in the second, you know, they very much have an intention to go, don't they? It may change.
I had a constructive dismissal tribunal about 2-3 years ago, which centered around an individual that effectively went to their employer and said, look, I've just to let you know, I'm looking for another job elsewhere in the market. Mm. Now, his argument was, you know, I was just being fair to my employer and ultimately, but I hadn't taken any steps to resign at the time. And the employer said that, well, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, ultimately, we're happy with you as you are, but we might need to go and tell the team something, and we might need to even go as far as to close down the office that you're in because you're head of this particular office. And without you being there, it puts other people's jobs in jeopardy type thing. Now, he then resigned at some point in the after that and claimed constructive dismissal. And we said, well, hang on a second. We think the motive for you doing so was because ultimately we wouldn't come back to you with more money, which is what he's essentially trying to get. Right. And that decision was upheld by the tribunal. So the tribunal decided that there was no valid grounds on which there was a fundamental breach of contract in that particular situation. The employer was just saying, look, this puts us in a real difficult situation because we're actually going to have to go out and tell your client base, okay, that you are thinking of leaving. And in fact, the worst thing about it was he was telling his client base that he was thinking of leaving. So we had to say to him, look, ultimately, you're right. If you're leaving, fine, you just need to hand in your resignation. Okay. But if you're not, you need to go to all these clients and tell them you're not, because actually the uncertainty of you doing what you're doing is causing the money to drop off, i.e. clients not to instruct us in that particular area.
Yeah.
And it means we might have to make some redundancies if we're not careful. And they could demonstrate that he was talking to those clients and that ultimately the monetary, you know, the clients were dropping the instructions on the back of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting case, yeah.
I'm glad you won.
Yeah, well, me too, yeah. So was the client. So it was a good result. Took a long time getting there, to be fair, in the Manchester Employment Tribunal. But yeah, all good fun.
Good.
Is that the quiz over, Joe?
It is, yeah, just two questions.
Okay, well, good. Well, that's it for today then. If you want to hear more about the latest employment law updates, whether Joe Mosley's resigned or been dismissed, alongside our expert commentary, then tune in a fortnight. Thanks very much for listening.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm tempted to say up yours after that one. See where we go.
Yeah, fine. Ta-da.
Thanks, bye-bye.